Dear people, it's the 33rd week in ordinary time, 33rd Sunday, and next Sunday is Christ the King. The 34th Sunday in ordinary time, Christ the King, the last week of the liturgical year. And so we are into our last 2 weeks of the year. And I think any homilist who is honest finds these 2 weeks very difficult to preach on. And largely because for the 33rd Sunday and next Sunday, the church uses for her scriptures her apocalyptic literature. That both Sundays, the readings are of apocalyptic nature, with extraordinary signs and cosmic imagery and terrifying realities and epic battles and ultimate ends. It's something you would find akin to a battle in a sci-fi movie in some cases. But it makes it easier for the homilist if he remembers what apocalyptic literature is all about. And that's what I want to impress upon you today, that the Holy Spirit inspired these writings always for this purpose, to give people hope who are in a time of trial, a time of trouble, when their world is being shaken. Apocalyptic literature isn't about some coded language to figure out when everything's going to end. Its purpose is to give us hope when things are passing away. We see that in the very historical contexts of these writings. In the first reading, it's the book of Daniel. He lived 2nd century BC, about 170 BC, when the Greeks had overrun the Israelites and destroyed the temple. It appeared everything was being lost. In the gospel, when Jesus tells his apostles these words we just read today, this is an important detail. This happened on Wednesday of Holy Week. 2 days later, he's going to be crucified. Their world's going to be shaken. It's about giving hope to people who are in time of trial. And hope is putting and anchoring our trust in the right end, in an end that doesn't end, in something that can't pass, in something that can't be taken. That is why hope provides security, strength, clear-headedness, stability. Because my hope is in something that can't be taken. Pope Benedict, in his beautiful encyclical Spe Salvi, which is Latin for "in hope we were saved," he says this, that our hope needs to be purified. Even our hope in Christ. And we see that very reality in the 12. That they hoped in Christ as the Messiah. But they had the wrong idea of a Messiah, and that needed to be purified. Their idea this Messiah was going to conquer the Romans, etc. So when he was crucified, they were shaken. because there was hope. Their hope was in something that passed. I think it was about 10 years ago already. Time passes when you get my age faster than you remember. I think it was about 10 years ago. I was out at the farm pheasant hunting. And at that time, many of my nephews were just coming to the age of being able to carry a shotgun and have a hunting license. And so for this particular walk, I was in a cornfield with two of my whippersnapper nephews on either side of me, to my right and to my left. And we were walking, as it often does toward the end, several pheasants got up, shots rang out, a bird dropped, and my nephew to my left said, "I got it," with great glee. My nephew to my right yelled out, "No, I got it." I walked up to it, picked it up, said, "Boys, it's a hen." They both said, "You got it." Dear people, that is the roller coaster of life. That's the thin ice we stand on when our hopes are in things that can let us down, like our own abilities, like some idea of marriage we have in our head that's a fantasy and it doesn't come true, like an oil boom, a government, a person, our own virtue. And then our world is shaken, our own health. Christ is our only sure hope. And he's the only end that doesn't end. And we have him. We have him. And if we learn how to cling to him when other stuff is passing, our life becomes a beautiful life of security and stability. And the rug isn't pulled out from under us anymore. That's what these readings are about. And there's a lot of things to shake us up, like the craziness and madness of what happened in Paris. These radicals. But we have Christ. Christ is everything. And to be rooted in him now creates a space of freedom where I can love these things that are so dear to me that I know we're going to pass. But I can love them freely now and gratefully, without white-knuckling stuff. Some years ago, I think it was already 5 years ago, time goes faster when you get my age, and you repeat yourself. The old people caught it here in the front row. A friend of mine called me up and said, "Father, would you come to the hospital and anoint my dad, give him the treasures of the church? It looks like he's doing better, but I'd still like my dad to have the great graces of the church." I said, "Of course," and went down there happily to anoint him and pray the litany of the saints, etc., with the family. And when I arrived there, the whole family was there, and this is a big family. It was a packed house. The hospital room was full, his lovely wife, his kids, the in-laws, the grandkids. It was packed. Anointed him. He was he's very clearly in. Loved grandpa, loved dad. And prayed with the family, and then I asked the family if they'd kindly leave the room and let me have some private time with dad, with grandpa. And so they graciously did. So I closed the door and I said, John, is there anything you wanted to say in private? Anything you wanted to mention? Anything that's going on in you that you didn't feel comfortable saying in front of everyone? He said, yeah, in fact, Monsignor, there is. He said, and it disturbs me. I said, what is it? He says, Monsignor, I'm pretty sure I'm dying. But my family thinks I'm getting better. And they have this hope. I'm going to be leaving the hospital and get back on my feet. But I know I'm dying. I said, well, what do you think we should do? He says, I don't know. I'm afraid to tell him. I said, but don't you think we should? Yeah. So we walked him through with what he wants to say and how he wants to say it and the tone in which he wants to say it. And then I invited the family back. And holding the white hand of his lovely wife, he told the family, family, you need to know that I think I'm dying. And as you'd expect, there was sobbing and tears. And then he said this, and I wrote it down when I left. He said, but I'm not afraid because I know the love of God for me. I know the goodness of God for me. And so I'm not afraid. And neither should you be afraid. Dear people, this man had found the sure hope. And it was real. And in the first reading, it says, the wise will shine like bright lights when this trial comes. And that's what it looks like, this man. He was a light for his family. Because he knew God. The good and the bad news, dear people, the good and the bad news is this. The opportunity to have my hope purified so my life isn't a roller coaster, one day up, one day down, one day secure, one day insecure, one day peaceful, one day anxious. But I'm rooted in Christ who never changes. The opportunity for one to have their hope purified happens when something is being taken away from me in passing. Something's happening that I don't like. It happens at the cross. That's where Peter's hope was purified. That's where ours is. As long as we turn to the Lord and put our hope in Him, reach out to Him for our security. So let us do that today in big and small ways.